And with that, we say hello to kick off Fan Game Day. Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller, Donnie Football is here. Then he will leave us to head over to the Rivers for on-site pregame coverage with Mark Cabali. And from what I understand, Jason Mackey has also been added to the mix. So
that's going to be a little bit crowded down there. You guys know the seating arrangements.
Yeah, I do. You need to make sure they both know who's boss when that show starts.
You're going to be like Dexter Lawrence and Christian Wilkins on that love seat that Mike Tomlin was talking about when previewing
making
the Giants
that, making
on Tuesday.
That poor couch
looks small.
Just the springs are going to go out of that thing.
Well, I think that it's appropriate to start with the games yesterday because they do, I think, set the scene for tonight. Because all three of us thought Famous Jameis would be an upgrade over Deshaun Watson.
Famous Jameis!
He was.
Big upgrade.
But I didn't think he'd be good enough to engineer a win. And now
and he
the Steelers,
really engineered it too,
yes,
man.
He
it
did.
wasn't like they played up 29-3 and then had to hold on for dear life.
334 and three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, the Steelers are in first place by themselves. And if they win tonight, they'll have a game lead on Baltimore going into the bye. And then what happened in Cincinnati too? I don't want to ignore that because the Steelers are a win away from a 3-game lead on the Bengals at the halfway point of the season. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of us had Cincinnati before the season started as either a playoff team or AFC North champ. So thank you, Cleveland. Thank you, Philly, two cities I generally hate, for their teams coming through for us and giving us a golden opportunity tonight against a very bad football team to put ourselves in position to, at worst-case scenario, make the playoffs, but best-case scenario, win the division. The Ravens now have had two games against the Raiders and Browns where they had a fourth-quarter lead and they were a big favorite and they lost both times. And those we call out the Tomlin games. They have these games too. And we need to make sure that we don't do that tonight against the Giants and give one back that we're supposed to win.
I have a lot of thoughts coming out of this. First off, on Baltimore, I think it's possible to look at them and say that for long stretches of games, then chunks of weeks of the season, they look like maybe like the second or third best team in the NFL. Offensively, they look like the best a lot of the time. And yet they have maybe the two worst losses by a team this year in the NFL. Losing to the Raiders, who now it has been very definitively established, suck when you're up 10-plus in the fourth quarter. Horrible. Harbaugh's got a bunch of those. There was a stat floating around after that game, how many 10-point fourth-quarter leads he's blown in the last several years. It's bad. Losing to the Browns, who, admittedly, I didn't see a ton of the game, but from what I did see, their offensive line looked way better. It just looked like they had an actual real quarterback in and they became better. It's still a terrible loss. That's a 1-6 team coming in. So I came out of it with this. First off, there's everything you just said, so I'm not going to rehash it about what it could mean for the Steelers in terms of the division and in terms of their positioning. But looking at that back half of the schedule now, where all of your division games, all six of them are going to be clustered, the Browns with Winston look a little more dangerous just because you saw them beat Baltimore the way that they did. The Bengals, conversely, to flip side this, so Jeff in South Park doesn't get his phone out right now and claim that I'm like being negative. The Bengals, I thought, was the more telling result, man. They got stomped in
their
own building.
At home.
Well, in their own building, they got smashed.
Halloween is days away,
Pony,
and they still haven't won a game at home this year.
Pony, I don't think that the Eagles are like a great football team. I really don't. I think they have their share of warts. Now, maybe that's because I see so many Eagles fans bitch about them on Twitter constantly, and I have like a poisoned viewpoint there. I don't think they are one of the three best teams in the NFC, believe it or not. I really don't. To see them go in there and smoke Cincinnati the way they did was an
eye-opening
thing.
They manhandled them. They pushed them around the entire game.
I mean, Burrow looked pedestrian. The Bengals never really got anything going on the ground.
Higgins didn't play, and Higgins
doesn't
want to. Their
defense got exposed.
Higgins don't want to force it because he's on that franchise tag. He's not gonna shoot himself up with painkillers and go out there and jeopardize a big injury. He doesn't want to be Christian Kirk or Chris Godwin.
Hurts has looked a lot better the last couple weeks.
He's got to think about his long-term prospects.
Hurts has looked better the last couple of weeks for sure. Like, he's played his three best games in a row now, but they just, like you said, they physically beat them up. Cincy just looks like they're circling the drain. I thought they were the best 3-4 team in the league coming into this week. I have to reevaluate them now. The Ravens, at the very least, what you need to say about them, even though they are lethal on offense when they get going.
And their defense sucks,
that's
Chris.
What I mean. Well, Jackson had really good numbers again. Hamilton dropped an interception, and that's that part of it. Hamilton drops a pick. Like, their defense is not good.
Okay, so get over the drop pick and don't let Cedric Tillman get behind everybody.
No, I know.
And let
their
Jameis drop an absolute dime to beat you.
He
quoted Eminem. Did you see that, Donnie? He was thinking about, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. I love Jameis. I hate the crap out of the Browns, but how do you not get romantic about what Jameis Winston and Nick Chubb are doing there? For a franchise that I, you know, generally love to see go 1-16.
I do think you have to take them. You have to take them more seriously than you did when Watson was quarterback.
Yeah, but you don't take them serious enough where they're going to go from 2-6 to finish with a better record than the Steelers.
Not at all. Not like that. I'm saying when the Steelers play them, when it was Watson in there, if it had been Watson, I would have chalked that up as 2 wins. Where before the season, assuming Watson wouldn't be the literal worst quarterback in football, I would have said maybe 1-1 because their defense can still be pretty tough. I'm just saying now you look at them and you don't think it's two cakewalks.
I just don't see why not. If the Steelers have another convincing victory again tonight, why they can't be looked at as the best team in the division.
Because they don't have Lamar Jackson primarily.
Okay, but they have a defense that is second in the NFL, and the Ravens have the worst pass defense in the NFL. And points allowed, they're not in the top half, and even when you go into the advanced statistics, they're not considered a good defense.
When you watch their defense, do you feel like you're watching the Steelers? I mean, do you personally feel like you are watching a great defense?
No, because I watched what happened in Indianapolis. I was there for that game, and they get off to such slow starts. But then their second halves are, other than the Indy game, are really good. I mean,
I think their defense should look very good this week, Pony, because they're playing a team that I think is mostly inept.
Yep.
But it's like, when they see Jaden Daniels, when they see Jackson, like, what does that defense look like, assuming it's healthy? That's the real crucible for me. Against bad teams, they've looked pretty good. They force a lot of turnovers, and they've mostly kept everyone in check other than the Cowboys, who put up a lot of yards on them. I just want to see that defense put more teams in a vice earlier on.
Donnie, starting to think there's a higher ceiling for this football team after what you watched and saw yesterday? And what you watch from the Steelers with Russell Wilson against the Jets, you put it all in a blender?
I think it just shows you that teams that look dominant are more vulnerable than we let on sometimes. Like, we put the Ravens on such a high pedestal.
Well, I don't. I don't know. Don't let me in there.
Played. I put them on a pedestal. Their offense usually looks unstoppable, and it wasn't like they got stopped by the Browns
yesterday.
Right,
but then they can put up a stinker like they did yesterday, like we've seen the Steelers do. Like, they're fully capable of doing that. The Bengals, by the way, suck. We just put way too much respect on Burrow and the talent at receiver. That team blows.
I'm starting to actually agree with that more. I'm going to fall victim.
We all just sit back on the laurels and say,
Joey Burrow, Joe Scheisty.
Well, that's because he's the one guy to go. He's the one guy to go into Kansas City and beat Mahomes in the playoffs.
Right, absolutely.
He's the only active guy. I agree.
He ain't doing that this year because they ain't getting to know Kansas City in the playoffs.
He said we got to win 7-9 to get in, and I'm not even sure that's going to be enough. How about start by winning a game at home? Bengals. Actually, don't do that because I don't want to see you rally.
This is sort of falling victim to the same, like, trying to pretend like the Steelers are not, you know, victims or not vulnerable to the same thing Donnie just said happens to almost every team in the NFL, which is you have a stinker of a week randomly.
Yeah.
But watching what happened yesterday does make me more annoyed that they laid their own, like, semi-stinker against the Colts for one half and that their defense rolled over and played dead against the Cowboys because, like, you don't have to squint too hard to see 7-1 or 8-2 if they come out of this game.
Yeah,
right?
Dallas isn't a good football team either.
I don't think Indy really is. I mean, Anthony Richardson tapped out of a game yesterday.
He was tired.
I am benching him in all my fantasy leagues. He was my big risk reward guy this year. It has not gone well.
You guys can continue all you want to murder me for my Kenny Pickett takes, and I know you will. Your Anthony Richardson take hasn't aged much better, pal.
No.
Holy cow. I'd love to play him in a game of darts. That dude has no clue where that football's going. He's a 44% passer.
Just the fact that he said he was tired.
15 or something in the first half.
And then he was too tired.
I can't get over that. No, I mean, I don't want to fall victim to the idea that, hey, the Steelers are somehow unique and different. I want to be honest about it, but it does frustrate me a little bit. You see the Ravens having opened the door like this, the Bengals. The Steelers could be gunning
exactly
for 8-0
tonight. The door got opened, and so now two things have to happen. Two things have to happen this week. Number one, you go out and you beat the Giants tonight. Number two, you go out and trade for a wide receiver. And you go and do those two things, the fan base is going to be as excited as it's been in a long time about the chances or the opportunity for this team to not only make the playoffs but win some games while they're there. Don't screw it up tonight. Don't lose to a team you're much better than. And then Omar Khan, get to work. And I know it's getting harder and it's getting late and wide receivers are dropping like flies.
Market's compressing.
But you still got to find one. And you do those things, and I think you're going to have a very, very pumped up fan base. And let's take care of business tonight to get it started, because now it's not, well, oh, look out. You know, the Ravens are so good. They're invincible. Lamar Jackson's having the best year of his career. They've lost to the Browns and Raiders, for crying out loud. And his record against the Steelers, obviously, is terrible, too.
Chubb stays in the backfield. Jameis to throw. Jameis says, I'm Jameis going deep. Has Tillman. End zone. Touchdown, Browns!
The one time we'll play Browns Radio Network calls and celebrate along with them, because they took down the Ravens yesterday. Steelers in first, and that's how we'll go into tonight's Gotta Have It matchup against a bad football team in the New York Giants. 6-point favorite. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We'll go behind enemy lines in 15 minutes with one of the Giants Radio Network voices, a guy that was a part of their Super Bowl winning team against the Bills. Maybe we can have Starkey call in.
You know what Bill stands for, Malzy, right? Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Here is Joe in Monroeville. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, man.
Hello, Joe.
Hey, listen, I'm just hoping, I get a sense that there is a lot of, I'm hoping what's not too, I can call irrational exuberance over the Steelers after just one game of Russell Wilson. What say you?
Well, I don't know what your irrational exuberance is. Like, how are you feeling about it? I'm not, you haven't articulated that point yet, Joe.
I feel good about it, but I all I'm saying is it
to
was
what
just
extent
one game.
Like, they can compete for a Super Bowl with him?
Oh, I'm just saying, I don't know. But it seems to me that everyone's all excited over the new Steelers with Russell Wilson, and I'm just wondering if it's founded. We're going to find out, I realize, but it was just one game.
Sure. Yes, but it was a hell of a debut. You don't need to be Debbie Downer here. I guess you can. That's your prerogative.
I'm just asking questions, but by the tone of my voice, you can tell that I don't believe in the player that I'm just asking questions
about.
Yeah,
and I also get now, I mean, maybe there's a little bit more of let's take it with a grain of salt, because the Jets just went to New England and lost. So a win against the Jets defense, which was highly ranked going into that game.
Still put 37 points on them, and yeah. Also the Patriots
But Jacoby Brissett also went 90 yards on them yesterday to win a game in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, but you know what? You know how many teams have ever, like, the Jets did some sort of insane feat of stupidity in that game. I don't think they even allowed 250 total yards, and they didn't turn the ball over. And I think Colin Coward, now granted it's Coward, so this could be a completely made-up stat, Donnie. I think he said teams to do that in the last X number of years were 224-0.
Yeah, but
and
that's
they're the
Jets.
First one to lose.
So
yes.
We beat the Jets, who can't get out of their own way, and they would screw up a one-car funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's where the trepidation or concern is coming in, not to get too excited. I just feel like for weeks there has been a feeling here of, yeah, the Steelers might be a good team, but they're not on the same level as the Ravens, and beware of the Bengals. And I don't see how right now in this moment you could feel that way. That Baltimore is obviously better than them, and that Cincinnati is going to run them down. So if you're in good position to win your division, get a home playoff game, beat like a 5, 6, or 7 seed, and get that monkey off your back and go into the divisional round with some house money. I mean, that's how I view optimistically or glass half full the season going for the Steelers currently, and I don't think that it's a far-fetched dream.
The Ravens offense I find still to be very scary. I know what your rebuttal is going to be, which is they always play Lamar well, and they do by and large. I'm still concerned about them because I think they're generally a well-coached team, even though we kind of all reflexively say that. But I would like to believe that if John Harbaugh, if we were in Baltimore doing sports, we would be maiming him on the air for some of these blown leads.
Henry only got 11 carries yesterday. I would be killing him for that.
I think the Bengals are pretty much dead and buried. Let me put it this way. Even though the Ravens had the worst loss in terms of who did you lose to yesterday, the Bengals' loss was more illuminating about what they are and what they aren't.
And there's no stacked division in the AFC like the NFC with the NFC North. So if at worst you're the second best team in your division and seven teams make the playoffs, you're probably going to get in.
Right now you've got you know what's a good thing for them right now? They have a head-to-head over two of the teams that are presumably going to be lingering around with them at
Chargers
the end. And
Broncos, 5-3.
I'm devastated to report that the Denver Broncos appear to be competent.
Here is Tony in Upper St. Clair. Hello, Tone.
No, that's Tony.
Oh, sorry. I said Tone as in a nickname for Tony. Apparently you don't like Hello? That. My bad. Yes, you're on the air, Tony.
Yeah, I have a two-part question.
Okay.
One is, we should win tonight, but always scares me when we play a lesser team.
That's not a question.
That's a declarative statement.
That was not a question, Tony. That was you just offering up an opinion, yes? Okay.
Yeah. And the other one is, what do you guys think about trading for Jordan Addison?
Why? Because he's tweeting out free three, which he claims is been his motto forever.
Oh. But why would they trade him, Tony? They're in a playoff spot right now, and they were the last undefeated team in the NFC.
I just thought they were just getting fed up with him.
The Vikings are fed up with, he did have incident.
He doesn't have a lot of targets this year. He's only had more than four targets once in the last five games.
Maybe Tony's onto something there.
Would you want Jordan Addison, though?
Yes, absolutely. I would. Yeah, he would be a significant upgrade over what
even with
now.
The off-field stuff.
Off-field stuff. Take away his car keys and make him Uber to everything.
Hmm.
Remember when the Cowboys got Dez Bryant a babysitter? Get this guy a chauffeur.
Didn't you say the Chiefs went to great lengths to try to keep Marcus Peters from accidentally burning down his apartment?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
I remember hearing stories that Marcus Peters at very basic tasks in daily life was hilariously clueless.
Here is Karen in Aliquippa. Hello, Karen.
Uh-oh.
Hey, fellas. Long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a long time
since
you called the show.
Happy Halloween, Karen.
Oh, I'm doing well. Just had a hysterectomy. You know how those things go, right, Bonnie?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Hey, I saw you guys had that little Austin Beckles in the studio there.
Yeah.
Wanted to let him know my... well-seasoned knee Skittles is able to get him over that goal line if he needs to.
Okay. Anything
and
else?
I just wanted to talk about the Steelers. And actually, there's a game last night with that Hail Mary in Washington. That really handsome Noah Brown. Trying to remember where he went to college. Oh, the Ohio State.
That's right.
Karen, have you run into Johnny the Barber, other biggest Ohio State fan around lately?
Yeah, you guys would have made a hell of a pair, but sometimes opposites attract.
I heard he got his balls operated on.
Yeah.
I hear he's this week's most prolific ball carrier.
Oh.
Anything else, Karen?
OHIO, guys.
Thank you, Karen. The Steelers get ahead, Noah Brown.
They could have, because didn't he?
He got cut.
The day he got cut was also the day Ayuk signed his extension, was it not? I think it was the same day.
Yep. And they said, we'll wait.
Would you like to have Noah Brown around right now?
I would.
You know, the market for wide receivers is getting pinched very quickly with the Christian Kirk thing. It's the supply and demand side of this, supply side, Pony, It's drying up very quickly.
I mean, I've been telling you I'm the most confident guy in this locker room. I think you can see that through my play this year. I love it. You know, I want to be on the honor with him all day. I have to do more on my side, which I'm completely fine with. I think throughout the year, you've seen that we've rarely got chips. You know, when it was me and AT in there, we rarely got chips. And obviously, we miss AT, but it's always the next man up mentality. But
all right, that is a guy named Jermaine Illuminor, who is the Giants' right tackle, saying, I want TJ Watt on an island. I'm the most confident guy in this room. We haven't had chips. I don't need chips. Let me take them. Last year with the Raiders, that didn't go well for Illuminor. He gave up 2 sacks to TJ Watt. So he wants that assignment again tonight. But there is news on this front, Malzi.
Mm-hmm.
He's questionable with a hip injury. Didn't practice Friday, didn't practice Saturday. Andrew Thomas, the Giants' great left tackle, is out for this game. They've moved a second-year guard to left tackle. He gave up 2 sacks in the first 5 minutes of the game against the Eagles last week. And if Illuminor can't go, that means Evan Neal, one of the big Giants' draft busts, who called out fans on social media last year and said, why don't you guys shut up? What are you doing with your life, flipping burgers? Why don't you leave me alone? Well, that guy's been glued to the bench. He would have to go in and block TJ Watt if Illuminor can't play.
Healthy situation all the way around for them in New York. Seems good.
We don't always go behind enemy lines, but we do for the big games. And when Monday Night Football comes to town, we'll tee this one up for you. Steelers and Giants. Howard Cross was a tremendous tight end with the Giants for over a decade. His son is now one of the great defensive players in college football over at Notre Dame. He works for the Giants Radio Network. He'll be on the sidelines for this game, and he joins us right now. Howard, how the frig are the Giants going to block the Steelers' front tonight?
That would be a great question. If I had an answer, I'd give it to you. But you know, all they can do is keep grinding it out and trying to make it a somewhat dirty game. The only way to do that is to be able to run the ball, and they haven't been able to do that the last couple of weeks.
Howard, my next question would just be about this team. How have they won 2 games? Because they've played some close ones, but, man, some of the underlying numbers you look at are just not pretty. The only thing it seems like this Giants team can do is generally defend the pass against most teams.
Well, if you think about it, they had a spot right after they got started where they started to play a little bit better. And then, you know, unfortunate things start happening. Receivers start dropping passes everywhere. A couple of linemen started to get nicked up. Then we lose Andrew Thomas. And it just hadn't got back on track offensively. Defensively, you know, with so many defensive backs either ailing or hurt, if they don't get a sack, I think even Thibodeau's out. If you don't get a sack, like you're taking your chance because we got one, you know, really good quarterback that everybody else is kind of like filling in and trying to make, you know, find a spot.
Now, is Illuminor going to play? What do your birdies tell you?
I have no idea. I would think he would play since he made, you know, made the big comments about wanting Watt one-on-one. But at the same time, you know, in this day and age of sports and the way guys rest and stuff, I couldn't tell you.
Interesting. How about Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones at home, not very good. Daniel Jones on the road, much better player this year. Howard, so give us a scouting report on the Giants quarterback who seems to make headlines in New York every week.
Well, you know, if he had the protection, he would be more than serviceable as a quarterback. I think that people don't realize, like, he's a really super talented kid, but they've basically almost broken his neck 2 years in a row with the limited protection, and I don't know who you could put in the backfield as quarterback to play behind. And at one point, the most historically worst offensive line in history we had last year. And this year, you know, they started out, like I said, getting a little bit better, and now we're starting to lose guys again. He's just out on an island back there by himself trying to figure it out because he's taking a lot of shots.
I will say there is one guy, if they can keep Jones upright, who scares me and keeps me up at night, and that's obviously Neighbors. I know concussion issue earlier a couple games ago, but what do Giants fans think of this guy? Everything they were hoping for and then some?
Yeah, definitely everything they're hoping for and then some. I mean, he's a kid that's a consummate professional. You know, he studies. He's in early. He's one of the last guys to leave. He's always in the tape room. He's a grinder. He wants to win. And like I said, he knows he's going to make a difference. And And he also knows that Daniel will be looking for him almost every play when he drops back, and he tries to deliver every play.
Howard, they got to double team him, or can they put Joey Porter Jr. on him, and that's sufficient tonight? What do you think?
You probably have to double team him, because watching them against Alabama last year, and you know, I think their two corners went, you know, first round, second round, and he gave them fits the entire, you know, the entire game. Mm-hmm. You probably are going to have to double him.
Now, if the Steelers do what at least Vegas thinks they'll do and they win this game tonight, Howard, can we just keep Darius Slayton here and maybe send a fifth or sixth round pick your way? Because Steelers need a second wide receiver. I'm wondering if the Giants are going to start trading off assets if they lose again tonight.
I have no earthly idea. Yeah.
How is Slayton as a player?
I think that they are personally trying to figure out, like, they both doing all they can with, you know, unfortunately, limited resources. They thought they had, you know, patched together the offensive line. They went out and got a few veterans to kind of, you know, fill in some of the spots. It's like, and it all matters if everybody stays healthy. And all of a sudden, Thomas is out. You start over again when you start losing your best players.
Howard, you've watched the Steelers on tape, and Mike Tomlin basically made Dexter Lawrence out to be some combination of Joe Green, Aaron Donald, and Warren Sapp when he talked about the Giants on Tuesday. What can or what should the Giants do to try to minimize his impact on this game?
You mean what should the Steelers
yes,
do?
Impact? Yes, yes,
it's not a lot you can do with Dexter. Dexter kind of looks like that kid at Pop Warner Football that you go check his birth certificate and you got to weigh him again before he plays. Like, is he really that tight? He looks so much bigger than the other guys on the field. He's moving so quick. He's fast. He's flexible. He's strong. It's a hard thing to do. You can try to double him. That doesn't seem to work very well. He'll make a tackle of both of your players. But if he doesn't use one of your players to tackle the guy, he's a big dude.
Mm. Howard Cross, ladies and gentlemen, Giants sideline reporter. Hey, Howard, thanks for giving us a bird's eye view on the Giants for this game tonight. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Yep. Okay. So, yes?
Just with their injury situation being what it is, man, this would be it would actually be very bad, I think, if this game were close heading to the fourth quarter. I understand it's the NFL, and a lot of games you think shouldn't be close end up being exactly that. I think teams that are like a 7-point or more dog this year are actually like 8-2 or something goofy on the money line. They just win straight up a lot. What is there that should scare you about this team?
They have the same thing defensively that we have going for us. They have a great defensive lineman and they have a great edge rusher. We've got Watt and Hayward. They've got Burns and Lawrence. Now, the Steelers have guys after that that make it, at least on paper, a great defense. The Giants, not so much.
I mean, I'm but looking got more two, at their
but,
offense.
I know, but I'm saying defensively, they got two game wreckers. Offensively, neighbors. Neighbors, 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 and more neighbors. Don't let that guy beat you. Don't let one dude. When the Steelers, you know, when they almost lost to the Raiders last year, Davante Adams had a huge game on a bad team. Don't let Malik Neighbors do that.
Tonight. I do need him to have a huge game, but the Steelers to win so that I can win a fantasy matchup.
Ooh, you're trying to do that. Thread that very
I need him to have like
narrow needle.
Can we have a 25-point night for Malik Neighbors in my fantasy league, but the Steelers also win comfortably? That is quite the needle.
Jason is in Carnegie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how we doing, fellas?
We're good. Really good.
Hey, I called last week when we was going through all the gossip about who should be the starting quarterback.
Yep.
And I said I'd like to see Russell Wilson in if we could add another receiver.
Yep.
The two names I mentioned then were Hopkins and Kirk. Neither
one's out for the year, and the other guy's in KC. Exactly, Jason.
Right. So my question is, at what point do we start putting pressure on Omar Khan to make a move here? It's been a long time that we've known we need another receiver.
3 weeks ago,
Jason.
Hold
him accountable?
He should be held accountable.
This show right now, Omar Khan, from Jason and Carnegie, and us to you. You are being held accountable right this very second. Go make it happen.
He's only got two names left, I think, that are out there that are probably realistic.
Okay.
One of them plays for the team they're going to see tonight, and the other one's Jacoby Myers.
What happened to Mike Williams? He gone?
I mean, are the Jets trading him?
The Jets are just going to accept.
They're just hanging out?
They're 2-6
okay,
fade.
Maybe three names?
Well,
seriously, how many guys are left, though? Kirk's collarbone absolutely throws this into flux.
What about Adam hooked on a Thielen?
Out. Still on IR.
Can't trade for Deontay. League rules prevent it.
Correct. You know, we can't let it go under the radar, Malzy, that the Pony said that Mike Williams would be a Steeler by this week. Mark his words.
Yes, I did say that.
Here's the problem. He makes so many of these predictions that it just gets lost in the shuffle. I don't even remember which one's attached to the face tattoo.
That would be Cooper Kupp, so I think I'm in good shape there.
If he was a Steeler,
yeah,
you'd get a face tattoo. Yeah, you're no face tattoo.